You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. 1 year after the violent and ultimately deadly Unite the Right white nationalist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia, another one is planned, this time in Washington, D.C. We're going to talk with someone who was at the Charlottesville rally and walked with the white nationalists. Her name is Dia Khan. She was embedded with the National Socialist Movement, neo-Nazis. She was filming a documentary that is now available on Netflix. Its title is White Right, Meeting the Enemy. Dia Khan joins us now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
So because of the subject matter of the film, it's about race, about religion, ethnicity, and all of those play into it. Would you please describe yourself in those aspects?
Well, so I am a woman of color. My family is Muslim. My father is from Pakistan. My mother is from Afghanistan. So I am the daughter of immigrants. But I myself was actually born and raised in Norway.
Why in the world would you want to spend so much time with neo-Nazis and white nationalists?
Racism is an issue that we have all lived with for a very long time. And I, at least when I was growing up, I was always told, look, you just need to give this time and eventually this problem will disappear. And the reality is that it's not going anywhere. And I've tried everything. I've participated in anti-fascist, anti-racist protests. I've done a lot of activism and a lot of work around this topic. And I just finally got to a point where I realized I needed to try something different. And I was tired of being afraid of people like this. And I was tired of only being angry at them. And I got to a place where I realized I needed to understand them. I needed to sit down and see if it's possible for us to have a conversation with each other and for me to retain my humanity in the process and also not deny them theirs.
Now, you talked to several people in the white nationalist movement, including a man, a Michigan man in the National Socialist Movement named Jeff Scoop. Let me play that clip.
Anytime you're in an area where the economy is suffering, it's somewhere that our message resonates with the people. So Detroit is an excellent city for us to be in.
Who is Scoop and why did you talk to him?
Well, Jeff Scoop is the leader of the National Socialist Movement in America, the NSM, and that is the largest neo-Nazi group across the United States. And so the reason I wanted to talk to him is because of the size of his organization and also the fact that he is the leader of it. Initially, he declined to speak to me, as you would imagine most of these groups would. But eventually, he gave in and he said, look, I'll give you 1 hour. That's all you have. And we did get together in a motel in Detroit. And I remember feeling quite nervous before he arrived because it suddenly dawned on me that this is actually going to happen. I'm actually going to get to meet and sit with a neo-Nazi. And suddenly, you know, everything, all the sort of worst scenarios start running through your mind. You know, what if they're armed? What if he comes with several people? You know, what if? And he did show up. He came alone, as promised. And he sat down and we finished our first hour that he had promised. And after that, a subsequent 4 hours, and we just continued talking. And at the end of those 5 hours, he basically said, look, in a few weeks, we're going to this rally in Charlottesville, and you're welcome to join us if you would like to do that.
So you went with him. You took your video camera to Charlottesville last year. You were in the street with the National Socialist Movement members. What was going through your mind at the time?
I was extremely nervous because I have been to rallies like this in the past, but I've always been on the other side. I've always been in the counter protests. So to march in to a rally like this with neo-Nazis and other white supremacists, you know, Klan members and all kinds of other groups was surreal. It was very frightening for me. And the reason for that is, even though Jeff Scoop was okay with me and he promised me that I would be safe, the men around him and all the other various groups that we marched in with obviously were not okay with a woman of color walking in with them. So, you know, the looks and the comments and the aggressive posturing that a lot of them had towards me was nerve-wracking. And then also the tension was constantly escalating between the white supremacists and also the counter-protesters. So I knew that violence or some sort of clashes were imminent. it was in the air from the minute we stepped outside into Charlottesville.
In some of your interviews, and you did quite a few of them, you shared some of the hate emails you've gotten because of your activism in the past and because of a BBC interview of you. Those emails were vile. Most of it we couldn't repeat on the radio, but you read it to some of these people you interviewed. How did they react?
You know, it surprised me quite a bit because the types of threats that I've gotten is from people like the men that I interviewed. So the language within these emails and the content and the violence that these messages were saying that was going to be committed against me is nothing that is new for any of these guys. So I found it really interesting that once I actually sat down and read it to their face, they all, without fail, were extremely uncomfortable and wanted me to stop almost. And I remember asking actually Jeff, you know, it's surely this is not the first time that you're hearing this language. Surely this is not the first time you're hearing any of these types of descriptions of someone who looks like me. And he said, no, it's not the first time. And I said, so what's the problem? And he just couldn't answer. He just looked really uncomfortable. And it was really clear that words matter. And once you see the impact of your words on someone, I think it's difficult for some people to stand by hateful words like that and violent words like that. And Jeff Scoop certainly, to my surprise, did find it very uncomfortable.
In the end, some of these white nationalists, most of whom never met a Muslim before, said they felt that you were a friend. And at the end of the documentary, one of those leaders of the National Socialist Movement called you. What did he want?
So he was a long-standing member of the National Socialist Movement. He used to be the PR director and had served in various other capacities within the group over the years. He called me and he said, look, I have decided to leave the entire movement because I do not believe in what it stands for anymore. I don't believe in violence and I don't believe in the idea that we have to remain separate. We're going to have to sit down with people that we disagree with and people who are different from us and see if it's possible to find a way forward together. I was actually in the middle of the edit. I'd already finished filming. I was in the middle of the edit and I get this call from Brian Culpepper is his name. And I was absolutely astonished. I was so moved and I still feel really moved even thinking about it. This is something I never would have expected. This is something I never planned on, never thought would be possible when I started making this film. But it just goes to show that contact with people who are different from you is absolutely necessary. And it's just as necessary for people like us as it is for white nationalists, for example. You know, I think we're all finding ourselves stuck in echo chambers. And, you know, I keep coming back to, we have to recognize each other's humanity and we have to find a way to make this work. We don't have the choice of saying, we're not going to engage, because what's the alternative of not engaging? It's violence. And surely that's an unacceptable outcome. Only banning them and only condemning them isn't going to make it go away.
The film is White Right, Meeting the Enemy. A good portion of the film was shot in Michigan. You can find it on Netflix. Diya Khan is the documentarian. Thanks very much for talking with us.
Thank you so much for having me.